Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Transformation Zone. I was just looking at the clock on the wall, and the clock on the wall says 6:30 p.m., and I know it's Thursday evening, and it is December. It is the last Thursday of 2017 before Christmas. So I hope you got your shopping done. I hope you've gotten everything that you needed to get done so that you have 30 minutes of your time for a show that is going to make a change in your life or someone's life who's very, very close to you. I'm your host, Velton Shaw, and as I always start the show by saying, I appreciate your time because you have a choice, and your choice was to spend your time anywhere you wanted to, and you've chosen to spend it with us. So thank you very much for your time because we're going to transform your world. Because if we can transform your thinking, you will transform your world. And, you know, transformation comes in a lot of different formats. And sometimes as we're traveling down that road of transformation, something happens to set us back to the beginning or set us back to zero. And we need to start over, or we need a fresh start. And I'm so excited this evening because I have a lady who's going to talk to you about starting over or getting a fresh start. And we're going to talk to her because something happened in her life that had her on a great course to do great things. And because of this instance, because of something happening, she went back to zero and had to get a fresh start. And she has written a book that is going to help you or someone you know along the road of getting a fresh start. The circumstances may not be the same, but sometimes the process is very, very similar. So I'm real excited, and I'm real happy that we have Ms. Cece Espute, who is the author of the Florida Clemency Guide. And the Florida Clemency Guide is just that, helping people get a fresh start who have been incarcerated or have had a run-in with the law and now need to get their civil rights back or get themselves back on the right track. But without further ado or without me saying anything else, I'm going to welcome Cece to the show. Cece, how are you?
I'm fine, Velton, and thank you for having me.
I'm honored to have you as our guest this evening. I'm so excited for you and for what God has put in your life and the changes that have been coming your way. And you just released a brand new book. Tell the audience a little bit about the book that you released, and then I want to talk to you a little bit about the story behind the book.
So I just released the Florida Clemency Guide, and it's a book about how to seal, expunge, or get your criminal record pardoned. And what I realized in talking to people is that they don't know the different words, and they're using the words wrong. So when they go to the clerk of courts and they ask, can their record be sealed or expunged, the clerk would say no and then just leave it at that. And the people did not know the correct words to use to get the actual application that they needed. So that's how the book came about.
You know, it's interesting, Cece, because in this day and age, it's, you hate to say it, but it's not that difficult to find yourself on the wrong side of the law and then be in a situation where you need to do just what you said, get yourself back on track, get your rights back, get the ability to do the things that every red-blooded American wants to do. So let's talk a little bit about why you wrote the book and how you came about writing the book. Tell us a little bit about how that happened and how you came to find out to be done and how it needs to be done.
Okay, so story is that I'm a former U.S. Marine, and I made a series of bad decisions that landed me in jail, or really landed me in federal prison for 2 years. And when I was being released, the guard said to me, "See you soon." And I still had a little attitude, and my head was bobbing. And I was like, "What do you mean, see me soon?" And she said that 96% of all inmates violate and return within the first year to prison. And right away,
wow.
I knew that that's not what I wanted for myself. Yeah. So it went through. Yeah, it is. But, you know, while some people may look at it and say, "Oh, she was being mean," or what have you, I was actually really grateful to her, because now that I knew, you know, 96% of people violate, I just needed to know what to do to be in the 4%. So
mm-hmm.
I talked to my parole officer, and they were like, "Just do what we tell you to do. Pee in the bottle every time we tell you. Be where you're supposed to be, and you'll make it through." And that's exactly what I did. I was actually on probation for 4 years.
Yeah. Wow. So now, when you're in that situation, and you've just been released from prison, you know, as
mm-hmm.
you said, you had a little bit of a swagger, a little bit of an attitude, and you're in a situation now where your whole circumstances are changed. Your whole life, as you knew it before, is now different. Talk a little bit about that feeling, and talk a little bit about what happens to most people when they're in that situation.
Well, it's a really uncomfortable feeling, you know, always having to check in with somebody, you know, peeing a bottle whenever they come around. It can be 2 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock, whenever they show up and want you to pee in that bottle, you know, you have to do it. So very,
mm-hmm.
Demeaning. It's very no hope. You know, it's just a really awful feeling. And then when you try to get a job, and you have to answer, as I put it, the F question: Have you ever been convicted of a felony? That stops a lot of people, and I know for a long while it stopped me. I hated answering that question.
So why did you write the book?
Well, you know, life goes on, and I was able to make it through my probation. I went back to school. I recreated myself, reinvented myself, as I like to say. And I became a contributing member of the community. So now fast forward 16 years, now I've got grandchildren, grandson. Got his learner's permit, and then eventually his driver's license, and started driving on his own. And I didn't want somebody to tell him about my past before I had a chance to tell him, you know, since he was going to be away from the family and having more freedom. And
mm-hmm.
I wrote a letter to him, and I asked a couple people to look it over. And I'll never forget, I asked you, you were one of the people I asked, "Look this over, what do you think?" And I remember you gave it back to me and you said, "You can write more than this." And so that was the beginning of the book. Yes.
Wow. Well, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people, as you say, are in that kind of a situation. And they come out and they're really lost, because they don't have a direction, or they don't understand what they need to do to try to get themselves back on track, or where they need to start. So you wrote a book, and as I understand it, The book is a step-by-step guide.
Right. It's a step-by-step guide of what you need to do to be able to apply, you know, for any one of those, for to get your record sealed, expunged, or pardoned. Now, I'm not an attorney. I have absolutely no legal background other than having been through the system. But I do know that when I went for my clemency, which in Florida is the same thing as a pardon, I noticed certain things that they were looking for. Certain people were getting pardons, and those were the people who had volunteered, who had gone back to school, who had letters of recommendation. So I started noticing a trend, and that's what I write about in the book. You know, the steps leading up to getting your record sealed, expunged, or pardoned. Because you can get the application easily online, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's what it's the supporting documents that you send in, clemency application. You know, do you have people who will give you letters of recommendation?
So you need people in your corner who can attest to the new you.
Correct. Absolutely.
Okay.
And so the clemency board. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
I was saying that the clemency board, what they're looking for, they're looking to see that you really have changed. You know, do you have a job? Are you paying your taxes? Have you been back to school? Mm. What are you doing? So that's what they're really looking for, to see that you're a productive
wow.
member of society.
Mm-hmm. So you, that you are now walking the talk. So
right. Right.
I mean, it's one thing to come in front of someone and say, "Okay, I'm the new me. This is the new me," but they're looking for the substance behind
correct.
The new me. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And they start looking at you for clemency. They start looking at you from the day you're released from prison. So. Even though there's a waiting period from the time you complete parole or probation, there's a 5-year waiting period. But the clemency board is actually looking at everything you've done since you've been released. So those extra years, sometimes it can be as many as 9 years before you're eligible to apply. You know, there are certain things that you can be doing all that time.
So basically you need to get a job or go back to school
correct.
Or volunteer. What else?
Mm-hmm. Pay your taxes.
Pay your taxes, okay.
Avoid traffic violations. No baby mama drama, no being arrested by the police. No. It's all of them.
Let me ask you a question. If you get a speeding ticket, that could put you in jeopardy?
Yes, it can. It can.
Wow.
But if you're strong in everything else, it won't necessarily hurt you. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you don't have any of those things, you're better off.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Wow. So now you wrote the book. You take people through the different steps. See, I just got an education because I was unaware that there were different things that you had to apply for. I thought it was just, okay, I want to get my civil rights back, and that's it. But you said clemency. You said getting your record sealed and expunged.
Right.
Those are two different things, correct?
Actually, it's three different things. It's three different
okay.
things. And the way this book actually was the second book I was writing, but I actually had to stop writing the other one to write this one because a lot of people don't know the different terms, the difference between sealing
mm-hmm.
and expunging and clemency. And I had to write about those things and put all the definitions in one place so that somebody can actually read them. So when they go up to ask for one of those processes, that they're asking for the right one. Okay. People would always mix up the terms jail and prison, they would say something like, my husband went to prison this weekend and he's out. I'm like, no, he went to jail. Two totally, totally different things.
Mm-hmm.
So this book, it's a guide. It has a lot of the definitions and the what the clemency board is looking for and where you can find the applications.
Mm.
You heard it here, folks. There's another book coming. I don't want that one just to slide under the radar screen. I heard it said there's another book coming after this one.
Oh,
we're gonna have her back to talk about that one.
There are so many books because this project has just mushroomed. The original name of the first book is I'm Home, Now What? And it was just my thoughts of what do I do now that I'm home? But then I started realizing that what does the family do when a loved one comes home? So the third book in the series is called Their Home, Now What? And it's written from the family's point of view, you know, because there's a lot of adjusting to do when somebody comes home.
Oh,
everybody
absolutely.
Has to adjust, yes.
Well, you know, it's amazing because everybody has a member of their family, whether they want to admit it or not, who has had some kind of situation very, very similar to this. So understanding how that person feels and what they're up against is one side of the equation, but then understanding for them, you to understand how your family members feel, how your mother feels, your father feels, your children, and as you said, your grandson. How to explain to your grandson where you've been.
Right, right. Yeah, there's a lot to it.
You do a lot of speaking, and I know that we were talking a couple of weeks ago and you were telling me that one of the taglines that you utilize is I speak in prisons.
Correct.
So you do a lot of work speaking to inmates and people that are either incarcerated or newly released. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, absolutely. Because the decision to get your civil rights restored, it doesn't start when you're eligible to apply. It starts before you're released from whichever facility you're in. And it's a mindset, you know. So the day you get out of prison, all your old friends are there to greet you from the neighborhood. You're probably going back to the same environment that you were in before you went. So you have to be aware, you know, that you want a different life before you get out of prison so that you can start making those, you know, those good decisions right off the bat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, that there's all that extra time that from the time you're released while you're on probation, which can be up to 4 years, 5 years, and then there's a waiting period for another 5 years before you're even eligible to apply. So that's 9 to 10 years right there that if you've been working, going back to school, by the time you're ready to apply, you're already 10 years of the person who doesn't make the decision until they're eligible. So you have a much better chance of being granted clemency.
Interesting. So now, you've been very, very active, and you've been highly sought out after and requested by a lot of different organizations. Can you talk a little bit about where you're currently speaking and what you're currently doing? Can you just give the audience an idea of the kinds of places and the kinds of people you've been speaking to?
So mainly I speak in jails and prisons, drug rehab centers, transitional housing facilities, and they have me come in and just, you know, I tell a little bit about my story, but more what I do is I answer questions because the process is so obscure that even though the information is on the internet, it's very hard to find. So I'll walk somebody through the process. I'll tell them how to get the application and then just answer their questions. Because we've all heard crazy stories that it's not possible, it can't happen. Well, that's not true. And even if it were true, 8 out of every 10 Americans know someone who's going to prison, in prison, or been released from prison. So there's a huge need for this. People need to know how they can get their civil rights restored, and that includes the right to vote.
Ah, the right to vote. How apropos after our recent election that people understand the power of the right to vote.
Correct.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So now you've written your book. You're now going around and you're speaking in prisons and rehabilitation centers and other places. What's on the horizon for CCS Butte as she travels through this process of the book launch? And number one, if someone's interested in getting a copy of your book, how do they go about doing that?
They can either go to Amazon and get it, or they can contact me directly. My email is CC, which is CECE, at ispeakinprisons, with an S, .com, and I'll be happy to get a copy of the book to them. Okay, so that's CC at ispeakinprisons.com.
Now, if they want to take it a step further and they are responsible for a drug rehabilitation center, a youth program, an ex-offenders program, a halfway house or something of that nature, and they'd like for you to come in and speak to their people, how would they go about doing that?
They can contact me once again using that same email. Like I said, it's cc at ispeakinprisons.com, and I'll be happy to contact them. I'm also on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, and most of the social media platforms, so I'm really, really accessible.
Okay, so now, are you planning to do any public workshops or seminars yourself in 2017? I know I'm not trying to pin you down to specific dates because I wouldn't do that to you, but there's such a high demand for this. And I know I've heard you speak and you're very dynamic in front of people with your honesty and pouring out of yourself to them. Are you planning on doing anything yourself in 2017 or 2018?
Yeah, it's on the table. But I'm working closely with the state attorney's office here in Broward County and in Dade County, where they're holding free workshops where somebody can come in if they have questions. You know, those legal questions that I cannot answer, they are holding workshops that the state attorney representatives will be there and they can answer their questions. I am always, at least 8 times a month, I'm at different places speaking, and very shortly I hope to have a list of places so that people, if they want to hear me speak, they can, come out, or they can always request that I come to their facility and speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter the size of the group. Sometimes smaller groups are good because then people really get to ask questions and I can, you know, help them a lot more. But yes, so 2017 is going to be a really dynamic year for speaking.
Fantastic, fantastic. So if I'm sitting here and I'm a parent or I'm a loved one of someone who is currently in the system incarcerated, who I'm really trying to reach out to them personally, what do you suggest I do other than for the Christmas season, other than buy them a copy of your book?
Mm-hmm.
That makes a great Christmas present, you guys. So if you've got someone in your family or someone that you know that's sitting in this kind of a circumstance, this is a great gift for them. What do you suggest I do?
You know, support them, love them, talk to them, find out what their hopes and dreams are. So many times coming out of prison, you're just disillusioned, and you're wondering about your judging skills, you know, and really what you just need is somebody to support you. So you can get a copy of the book and give it to them as a gift, but don't push them, because no matter how much a family member or a loved one wants this, it's not going to happen until the person's mindset has changed, right? And that's what it really boils down to. You know, one of the questions I get asked, I can't even tell you the number of times I get asked this question, is how soon can their right to carry a firearm? Well, just by them asking that question lets me know that they're not ready. Because when you when your mindset has changed, you won't want to carry a gun anymore. You know? I mean, well, maybe when you're, you know, before you went to prison, whatever you were doing, mm-hmm. you know, if you were carrying a weapon, you did your time. By the time you're actually ready to be in front of the clemency board, you're talking mm-hmm. maybe 15, 18 years. If you're still wanting to carry a gun, that lets the clemency board know that your mindset really has not changed. So they don't give you clemency. So the very fact that you're asking the question, you know, lets them know exactly where you stand.
Well, it sounds so it's almost things like we have a problem here. Houston, we have a problem. We've got someone who's just gotten back on the street who's worrying about a firearm versus a job.
And therein lies the problem. Now, many times people will come to me because I'm an advocate for civil rights restoration, and they'll say, don't you think somebody's civil rights should be restored once they get out of prison? And unfortunately, my answer is no. When you listen to them when they've just come out of prison, when they're talking about how soon can they get a gun, they're angry. And the last thing the government wants is a bunch of angry people who've just been released from prison running around with a firearm. So no, you know, I don't believe they should get it right after they come out, but neither do I believe that they should have to wait, you know, 5 years plus their probation. That I think is too long. So I think really the law needs to be changed. Only way the law can be changed is it's people who are going through the situation now, get their civil rights restored, stop the votes to change the laws for the people who are coming out, say, in a couple of years. That's the only way it's going to change.
Very interesting. That is awesome. Well, you know, it's amazing. It's a subject that some people kind of grimace when you bring it up. But it's reality and it's a fact of life. I'm so very happy that you took the time to put together a guide that helps other individuals or other people, because in our lives, it's not about what we want, but it's about the legacy that we leave or who we help. And I really want to commend you for taking the time to help others as you have helped yourself get your life back together. Now, I'm not going to let you off the hook. You got, you told us about two more books coming, so that means we're going to have you back in a few months so you can tell us about this next book once it's released.
Oh,
yes?
Absolutely. I'd love to come back.
And we are going to do everything in our power to support you in your endeavors to help others. Again, Cece, thanks so much for joining us this evening. We're out of time, folks, but we wanted to make sure that we said thanks again, and we definitely invite you to come back soon.
All right. Thank you very much. I loved being here. Thank you.
All right. Clock on the wall says 7 p.m., folks, so our time is up. But as I always say, you had a choice of where to be for the last 30 minutes, and you chose to spend it with me. Thank you very much. Happy holidays to you and yours. And remember, 2016, we had a great time. Our thought process was fantastic. It took us from where we were to where we are now. But to go from good to great, we're going to continue to transform our thinking and transform our world. I'm your host, Velton Schauel. God bless and good night.